Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right, welcome back to Memphis, Tennessee and the Helena Products Group Evolve Innovation Expo. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jody Lawrence from Strategic Trading Advisors. First, though, Davis, let's go ahead and recap where the market's closed.
Sure thing, Chip. September hard red winter wheat futures were 12 cents higher, 827 and one quarter. September soft red wheat gained 17 cents to 670 and three quarters. Incidentally, September spring wheat down three quarters of 1 cent, 877 and one half. September corn futures 29 and one half cents higher, 528 and three quarters. December corn gained 28 and one half cents to 534 and a half. August beans 8 cents higher, 1492. Novi beans closed at 13.95 and a quarter. That's 17 and one quarter cents higher today. December cotton firmed 12 points, 82.25. Livestocks. August fat cattle $1.15 higher, 181.27 and one half. August feeder futures down $1.25 to $248 even. On the snout side, August hogs were $1.50 higher. October contract down 85 cents to close at 81.47 and one half. That's your quick market recap. Back over to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Jody Lawrence is with Strategic Trading Advisors. He's with us in Memphis, but you're out of Nashville, Tennessee, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Jody, it snuck back up on us, this drought out west. USDA already took four bushel off the national average yield projection. You really can't call it an estimate at this point because they don't have any survey work done on it. So they took four bushel off it down to 177.5. That's still a record number, Jody. Do you feel like that is something that we should be using on the balance sheet?
It seems awfully aggressive,
yeah,
by the USDA. And I understand their methodology in July is that they want to be patient because there's still a lot of things that can't. You can always go down. It's much harder for them to admit they were wrong and move it back up.
Go back up.
Yeah. My thought in this, and if you just look at the national average, and we talked about this on the panel today, the crop is somewhere between 172 and 176. And
okay,
you tell me how hot it gets, August 2nd at the very end of pollination to take some off of, you know, the late pollinating crops or the more northern regions where the excessive heat is supposed to be, or who misses some rains, you know, Illinois in particular, because I think of the big production states, they have the lowest ratings and have consistently since May or since they start coming out. And, I'm having talked to all the agronomists that I've talked to who know far more about yield projection, health of the plant, what it's gone through, the stress so far, I'm certainly under 175, and our model has it at 172 and a half, which I'm comfortable saying. And it really is just going to depend on how the USDA comes back if they trim the acreage expansion, which everybody on the sales side of it thinks was well overstated.
Okay, when we were on the panel and you made that comment earlier, and you said even some of our hosts, some employees of our host down here have indicated that they don't believe that that increase, that 2 million acre increase in corn acres from intentions to the June acreage report actually happened.
Exactly, because if you look at it, 2 million acres is not an insignificant amount.
No.
It's, 2.5-3% when you talk about the big total. And everybody's, quarterly sales numbers, even if you split it at exactly the split between everybody involved in selling seed and, selling application product, everybody would have gained that particular number to their portion of 2-3 million acres. And I can't find anybody that says that, oh yeah, we really saw it here for whatever reason, or we really saw it there. Wasn't a regional shift, and it certainly has not been a national shift from the information I've got.
Dude, if they would take that 2 million acres back off at some point, I mean, you're talking October at the earliest.
Right.
Okay, before they, once they start to take a look at the certified acreage data from FSA. if you would peel a million of that 2 million back off and start talking about a sub 175 yield, now we're changing the balance sheet, aren't we?
Considerably, because if you take just 1 million acre off, and let's say the final yield's 172. Yeah. So there's 172 million bushels right there that have to be taken off, ending stocks. Then if we take it from 177 and a half to 172, 5.5 at 93 million acres times the 92%, now you are moving really close to where you add almost 500 million bushels plus to the acreage. You know, you're close to, 650 to 750 million bushels less of corn, and just normal market has always been history that 250 million bushels is worth the 25-30 cent move in corn.
Is there enough wiggle room on the demand side of the balance sheet to absorb that?
I think that the way the USDA has trimmed it so significantly, and rightfully so, because Brazil's crop was so big and China has been mad at us for, most of my lifetime, at least, and for it, it certainly the last 18 months, but it would be impossible for them to find a way. You can't take it off ethanol production because it's going to be 5.1-5.2 billion bushels. Yep. That's, that number is not going to change that significantly. And you just simply can't go find an area on their balance sheet in any of the columns to say, okay, we'll take, a couple hundred million here from feed and residual or wherever they decide to count it, if they decided to fudge the numbers to get it back. And if they just took a hatchet to a million acres and 5 bushels an acre, we're back to $6 corn. There's almost no way around it.
Okay. Talking about where there's not a lot of wiggle room, it's on that bean balance sheet, isn't it? I mean, we're sitting here with a carryover projection for 23-24 at 300 million bushels, but it feels more like 200 million bushels than it does 300 million. Do you know what I mean?
I have had a fundamental discrepancy with the USDA on corn and bean ending stocks since the I call it the flood year in 2019, where all the prevent plan acres basically from Indianapolis to Toledo were taken out because they were underwater forever. And then the USDA, if you remember back to that, came back and said, oh yeah, you intended to plant 97 million acres, or it was an enormous number, 96 or 97.
You could stretch it and make it 100.
Right.
Yes.
And then they took off all the prevent plant to get it back down to a normal number. And since then, if you look historically at old crop basis from the 2019 fall until this year, you have seen record high basis just about everywhere. We finished COVID. We knew there would be, the reflation play that everybody talked about. We knew that the economy would come back online, but then we had all the rate cuts, which, certainly had impacted that. And the cattle prices are so high, so that must mean we got great demand and a smaller herd to be at, 175, 180 cattle. So if you look through this, the only conceivable way, and you can go back year after from 2019 on, is that they understated it so badly or overestimated the acres, understated the final carryover, that we still see the legs of that miscalculation. Because, and I can understand why they do this, because at some point throughout all of American agriculture, we were going to have a trend line and a bin busting crop. Yeah. At that point, you can make up for a lot of bad math. Yeah. And you pull out the eraser and get everything where it should be. But you cannot be paying right now 80, 90, a buck over for corn and tell me that ending stocks are where the USDA is telling us where they were for 22-23. And that goes back to your question about 300 million bushels worth of beans. It's still the same thing. The bean basis in beans is extremely high and tight, regardless of Brazil's record crop, which more than offset Argentina's. But when you look at that, if you took that number where everybody thought it was going to be last Wednesday in the report, I think the industry expectation was 240 or 250, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And, you take it back to where everybody thought it would be that the cash markets were telling us, if you, even if they've overestimated or overestimated the acreage cut. You add back a million acres, but you take two bushels an acre off and you go from 50, whether 52 and a half now, 52 down to 50, which wouldn't be, you know, statistically rare. I mean, last year we went to 49 and a half from right. At one point we were thinking it was going to be 53. So all of the sudden you start talking about just cutting off the yield of two bushels an acre almost takes off every bit of that. And you can get the balance sheet at the end of this year with a 50 bushel per acre bean crop under 50 million bushels. And we just barely broke through, closed a little bit below 14 today in November beans. But, you know, you pick your number if we get below 50. And a big part of that is everybody goes, well, Brazil will just plant more.
Yep.
The dollar has pulled back so much that it's going to help our exports. And at the expense of, it's going to make every Brazilian farmer's crop expenses higher this fall and winter because they're going to have to pay in a depreciating real that all of a sudden it's not profitable for them to expand.
Yep.
And we talked about this earlier. Mother Nature, you know, decides to come and kick somebody in the shorts. And next thing you know, they don't have a record yield and we're at a 50 bushel an acre.
Yeah.
So beans are on the absolute razor's edge right now.
Yep. You know what you are? You're a dot connector. I mean, you are. You can run it from one dot to the next. And when everything is said and done, you can see the picture that you're trying to describe there, Jody. Great job today. Thank you so much. We're going to get you back on sometime, all right?
Well, thank you, Chip. I always appreciate you doing it. Appreciate you coming out. And I know that Elma appreciate you being here.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Jody. That is Jody Lawrence with Strategic Trading Advisors. We've got Phil Collins up from Helena next.